this is like the last of the breakouts.
Woo!
Can we bring it home?
Yeah.
Can we do it?
Ow!
Let's do it. Let's pray together. Father God, the fact that we get to do this is truly mind-boggling. It's all because of you, Jesus. It's all for you, Jesus. The only way we can hope to be changed, to be different, to be mature is because of you, Jesus. And the fact that we get to sit here and say your name over and over again and say, I am a Christian freely without threat of somebody breaking down the doors and putting a gun to our head. The fact that we are here rather than across the world fighting for our next piece of food. The fact that we are here rather than at a hospital bed fighting for our next breath. Oh God, this is a luxurious and privileged position. And I pray, Father, that because of this, we would lean in. That even now, this would begin to be a time, even though it's late in the afternoon, where we know it's you and us. This is not about the person sitting next to us. This is about you and what you want to say to my heart and our hearts today. So I pray, Spirit of God, you would help us to lean forward on the edge of our seats, listening for your voice alone. That this would be about you and I, and that in some ways we wouldn't even be cognizant of the people and the distractions around us. Spirit, I do ask you to do that. Thank you so much that we can be so bold to ask such things. I pray for every heart. I know, Lord, this is a time when many, many things are brought to surface. Many, many things are brought to light. And I pray, Jesus, that you would show each one of us what your specific and unique word is for each one of us today. And it's all because you're that good and you're that amazing and you are a God worth our everything. And you have proven it to us over and over again what you've done for us. And I pray that we would be so impassioned that our lives would be turned over to you to a degree that we never thought possible. And that's because of you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we pray forever just had an accident in the elevator. Did you guys hear that? I don't know what kind of accident that was, but it was something. I could hear it. Okay, I am really, really hoping we get the outline soon because I work strongly from an outline. I like us to all be united and together, but let's all try to stay as focused as we can until we get those. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about honest freedom. There is a verse at the top of the outline. Would somebody be willing to read that, please? Just read it out.
I read 8. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Woo! Isn't that some good news?
Yeah.
Hey, look, our girl is here. We love her! Woo! Woo!
So the rest are coming from a faster copier.
So the rest are coming. Okay, come on, here, let's get them out. Who needs them?
I'm
pass them around. Pass them around. Keep passing them on back. There's people in the back that need them too. Keep going. Awesome. She says some more are coming.
Two more.
Sorry.
Just one more.
Come
all
night. Are these extras?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, hopefully she'll get them here in just a minute. Let's keep going. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I thank God that He's got a specific word for each one of us. And for some of us, we know we've been living in the grips of something that we need saved from. Some of us need saved from ourselves, right? And it says, they'll come and go out and find pasture. Oh, how good does that sound to us? A place of peace, a place of joy, a place of true rest, a place of true comfort, a place where you think, oh, I don't have to worry about anything here. The thief comes only to do what? Steal and kill and... Some of you are living that. You know. You have dreams and you have struggles that you think if the person beside me only knew, they wouldn't want to sit beside me. you know that there is one after you who wants to take you out of this battle of faith. And then what's the last part of that verse? I have come that they may have life and have it to the... What's the next translation say of that? Somebody read it out. I came what?
So they have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of.
A more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Come on, think about the great life that you've dreamed of. Do you believe that in Jesus there is a better, way better version of that life for you? I'm so excited that we get to be here. And I didn't get a chance to tell you this because I'm a little discombobulated by the time and the outline issue. But here's the deal. I am so pumped to be with you here. All day it was like Christmas for me because I'm like, I can't wait, I can't wait. My kids are like, what's up with you, Mom? I couldn't wait because I know that you, at your age, if you get a hold of some things, if you get a hold of some truths, I just can't wait, honestly, to sit back and watch what you do for the kingdom of God. I know I'm going to be hearing about you in 20 and 30 years because of your attendance at this conference, because of your willingness to say yes to God. When you could be doing whatever on break, you are here, and you are here saying yes to God. And here's what I know about God, that anytime you say yes to God, guess what He says? Yes! Anytime! Yes! Anytime you say, okay, God, you know what He says? Yes! It's back to you! And I think, I love it, that you guys are at a place where you're saying, I get it, that I'm God's, that He purchased me at a high price, and that I want to be His for all eternity. And I can't wait to see what God does with your life. So thank you for letting me be here. I know that if I heard some of the things that you've been hearing this whole conference when I was your age, I'd be a way better version of myself than I am now. And so I truly am so excited. So thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for saying yes to the Lord. Thank you for leaning in. And thank you that I know that through you, generations are going to be changed. I pray that together we usher in the kingdom of God. How about right now? How about like 3:37? What do you say?
Yeah.
But if not, I know I'm going to be hearing about you and seeing you. I do. I do. So, okay, here's the first thing we're going to do. When I thought about, okay, you know, honest freedom and what we want to talk about today, there's so many things I could have shared. And so I thought, how am I going to organize this outline, Lord? And then I read my description, and it said life-altering awarenesses, game-changing strategies, and practical tools. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. So the first thing we're going to do is look at life-altering awarenesses. Now, what are life-altering awarenesses? Like, for instance, everybody in this room, hopefully, knows that in America, what side of the road do we ride on?
Right.
Super job. So we ride on the right-hand side of the road. Listen, if you didn't have that fundamental understanding, if you didn't have that fundamental awareness, what would your life be like? Your life would be chaos. You'd be like, why am I constantly wrecking? Okay, more outlines coming. They're all mostly in the back of the room right around here. Awesome. Thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Melanie. Thanks, Melanie. We've got a couple up here in the front of the room. Couple. Or we still need some more. Did Lauren bring hers in? We didn't say thank you, Lauren, so I don't think so.
Okay,
great. Awesome. Okay, fundamental awarenesses. Life-altering awarenesses. In other words, somewhere along the line, you learn that if you touch the stove, what happens? If you didn't come in with this initial awareness of touching a stove, you get burnt, then what happens? You're like, you go around, you're like burnt. You don't have that fundamental awareness. Okay, fundamental awarenesses are things that we have to know for life to make sense. Believer, child of God, those of you that have said yes to Jesus Christ for salvation, there are some fundamental awarenesses that unless you're walking around knowing like driving on the right-hand side of the road in America, guess what? Your life will not make sense. So here's the first one. You weren't meant to fit in. That's your first blank. You weren't meant to fit in, to be average, to be normal. You're like, oh, okay. I'm not kidding. Do you know this about yourself? You weren't meant. Got some more? Thank you, Adam.
Keep your hands up, so.
Of course it did. We're going to talk about that right there. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That's right.
Of course.
your hands up if you don't get one.
Everybody's cool with me getting this time on the back end, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. Okay. First life-altering awareness is what? It will. Our lives will not make sense if we don't realize we weren't meant to. I mean, seriously, think about that. Some of us in this room, that's our whole thing. It's just, I want to fit in. Why don't I feel like I fit in? Why don't I feel like I'm not? Why don't I feel like we're like constantly uncomfortable? And it's like, oh, wait a minute. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one who has been deposited with the Almighty Himself once we said yes at the moment of salvation, I'm not meant to fit in. I have royalty living inside me, right? You have a kingdom purpose that's more transcendent than any worldly purpose. You're not meant to fit in. You're not meant to be normal. Isn't that kind of, in its own weird way, good news? Because it makes us understand, oh, that's right. So instead of being like, oh, there's something wrong when I feel like I don't fit in. Why is it I feel like I don't fit in everywhere I go? Because we're not meant to. Let's look at this verse. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. For you are God's what? What's a workmanship? Yes, it's a masterpiece. How many of you woke up this morning and looked in the mirror and was like, hey, you're a masterpiece. But you know what? This is the truth of God about you. Your intended self, not the self you're trying to be. Your intended self, you're a masterpiece of God. He made you just the way He wants you, for His purposes, for His glory. And when you are walking in that purpose, your intended self that God wanted you to be, He gets much glory from your life. But the reality is this, that students today are faced with overwhelming amounts of messages about who they are and what they should be doing to be beautiful, successful, and happy. Can you guys just give me a shout out? Tell me what are some of these messages that you're being bombarded with every day? You have to be skinny. They said it in unison. Exactly. Yes. What'd you say? Wear tight clothes. That's right. What else?
Tanning.
What the heck? What else? What?
Rich.
Yes, make money. Have lots of money.
Perform well.
What else?
Perfect job.
Get the perfect job.
Be okay.
Yeah. Just like, ta-ta, I'm good. I'm good. Yes. Be okay. What else?
Have power.
Yes. Yes. Got to have people like you. Must.
Have it all together.
What?
Have it all together.
And the other one is you have to have a relationship. Have a relationship. You're like nothing without a relationship, right? These are some of the messages we're bombarded with every day. So my question to you, and it's on your outline, is this. Where have you personally looked for value, meaning, and to feel good about yourself? Here we got the outlines coming in. Go ahead and write it down. Write down where you think you personally look for value, for meaning, or to feel good about yourself. Our inner longings, this is your next blank, were meant to drive us to God, but instead we take them elsewhere. When we do this, guys, we will be constantly dissatisfied. Write it down, dissatisfied. Some of you, that is your deal, is you're constantly like, why am I never happy? Why do I never feel okay? Why do I never feel at peace with anything? It's because we are taking our inner longings to places they were never meant to be. Yes? Where are some places we take our inner longings that only God can fulfill? What do? We take them to?
Boyfriends and girlfriends.
We take them to other people. What else?
Drugs.
Substances.
Alcohol.
Schoolwork.
Success in schoolwork.
Porn.
Friends. Sports.
Video games.
Yes. And let me ask you, does it work?
No.
Are you satisfied? Are you somehow satiated?
Momentarily.
That's exactly right. Here's the deal. When we take the longings that were meant for God Himself and we assign them to people, we'll be constantly dissatisfied. And we'll need them in larger and larger measure. And I have had, because I'm old, I've had the privilege of, and I'm a counselor, having people in my office for the past 17 years. And let me tell you, I've had the gamut of people, and I thank God because they have been my teachers. And you know what they have taught me? From student to millionaire, I've had politicians in my office, I have had sports figures in my office, it does not matter. Let me just tell you that the thing that they have taught me is this, that when you get it, they're still dissatisfied. And they're actually even more scared, because on this side of it, we can be like, well, oh, when I have this amount of money or this amount of notoriety, popularity, or this amount of whatever, then I'll feel good. But on the other side, that's a scary place to be, because they get it and they realize, and I feel no better. That's what happens when we constantly take our needs to other people like this. Will you love me? Will you make me feel good about me? Will you laugh at me? Will you make me feel like I belong? When we take our needs this direction, they're never met in the ways that satisfy our soul. Do you believe that? Our inner longings are meant to drive us to God. And we talked about that, or we'll be dissatisfied. Anywhere apart from God that we take our longings will leave us wanting, searching, or insatiable. But if we look to the Lord for His perspective, our lives are completely different. Only then can we have the peace, confidence, and assurance that we so desperately seek. Why don't you circle the one of those words that you are longing for the most right now? You might want to put joy in there too. Peace, confidence. Which one do you want? Assurance? Joy? We can't do life unless we really know who we were meant to be. Folks, if we don't get who God tells us we are, underline that phrase, who God tells us we are, we will spend our lives trying to get approval, love, identity, and meaning from other people. Do you know that? That if we don't get it, who God tells us we are, we will constantly spend our life trying to get that identity on a horizontal direction instead of a vertical direction. But let's look at these truths together. You ready? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of His darkness into His wonderful light. Tell me what's true about you, child of God. Say it according to this verse.
Chosen.
You're chosen. Say, I'm chosen. What else? I'm holy. I'm blameless. What else?
Royalty.
I'm royalty and I belong. How many of us is that our question? Ah! Do I belong? Do I belong? Do I fit in? Do I belong? Do I belong? What's the answer according to the Word of God?
Yes.
Yes. I love it. She says, heck yes. I'm in with that right there. That's right. That's right. This is what the Word of God says. This is not up for debate. If you've claimed the name of Christ, this is true about you. And so is this, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Come on, child of God, tell me what's true about you.
Chosen.
Yes, I'm chosen. I'm picked first on the team. What else?
Royalty.
You're royalty. You're holy. What else?
Blameless.
What else?
Adopted.
Yes. And guess what?
You wanted to do it.
You give God pleasure. You give God pleasure. When God looks at you, He isn't like, oh, you know, He's so-so. You know, He's all right. I'll let Him in the kingdom, whatever. God, when He sees you through the eyes of Christ, takes great pleasure in you. A pleasure that if we actually focused on, it would change us. Because this is what we long for. We long to feel special. We long to be acknowledged as very individual, very unique, and very special. And this is what we get when we look at God for our identity. But not what we get when we look any other direction. Okay, what else is true, child of God? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Come on, what's true about you? You're like, I'm salt? What does that mean? What does it mean that you're salt? What's salt used for? What's salt about? Come on.
Flavor.
Flavor. You're like, yes, I am salt, man. I spice up wherever I go, yes? And what else about salt? When you have some, you then crave more, usually. Right? You're like, need some salt. I crave it. Guess what? Child of God, because of Jesus Christ deposited in you at the moment of salvation, you know what's true about you? People crave you, and they want you. They want Jesus in you. You liven things up when you're around. This is not up for debate. And yet so many of us are like, yeah, I don't think so. No, no, this is a non-negotiable. What about the other? What does it say? You're the light of the world. What does that mean? If this room were entirely dark and we took a tiny little birthday candle, just a tiny little birthday candle in a huge space, have you ever done that? It's amazing how much light that gives off, isn't it? Guess what? Child of God, that's you. And it's not up for debate. You understand wherever you go, whoa, you're bright. Listen, I dare you, go stand in line at the post office and have a sense of, whoa, I am picked by God called according to his purpose for a holy, holy reason to advance forcefully a kingdom that is coming and I'm on board with and I get to be on the front lines of. Wow. Have that perspective. And then when you smile at a stranger, you'd be like, Jesus just smiled at that stranger because he lives in me. Are you with me? And when you pray for somebody inside, somebody in front of you, oh Lord, help her with those children. Oh Lord, help her with that fashion crisis. When you pray for somebody, you know, wait a minute, God will answer. This is, I'm here for more than just to be like, and there's still 10 more minutes until I'm ready to mail my package. That's not your life. That's not what it's supposed to be. You're salt and light, and it's not up for debate. Next thing, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. What does this mean? I have loved you with an everlasting love. What's that mean? You're always going to be loved. Guess what? You're loved yesterday, you're loved today, you're loved tomorrow. By whom? The God that takes great pleasure in the you that he made you to be. So if you feel like, I just don't feel very special to anybody today, guess what? It's a lie. The truth is, you are loved from your head to your toes more than your soul can actually take in, frankly. That's the truth, whether you choose to embrace it or not. For I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus' return. Somebody tell me what this means about you, child of God. Oh, please tell me. It means he ain't giving up on you and me. Isn't that great news? I bank on this one because I know I am a mess. And here's the thing, he's promised. Sweetheart, I'm going to continue to conform you to the image of my son until you see me face to face because you said yes to me for salvation. Isn't that great news? Listen, he's never going to give up on you. Never. No matter what you did last night, no matter what you did 5 years ago that haunts you, no matter what somebody in your family is trying to hold over your head, he never gives up on you. Isn't that great news? Some of us, that's just what we need to hear today. And by the way, because I'm so intent on this being a dialogue between you and the Lord, I am okay if you need to get up and leave. I am okay if you need to just put your head down and journal the whole time. I am okay if you need to go in the corner and pray. It is truly a dialogue between you and the Lord. So I really would like you to have the people beside you be just drift away from your attention. Try not to have it be about my words. I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God is telling you. Because he's got a unique message for each one of us here. So when you get it, grab hold of it and swallow. Yes, ingest it. How about this? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Tell me, child of God, what's true about you?
Everything.
You have everything you need to be godly. What else? You're called. You're called. What else? You can overcome your sinful tendencies to escape the corruption, right? Isn't that great news? You can do this because of Jesus. How about the next verse? Therefore, there is now what?
No.
Tell me, child of God, what does this mean about you?
You're not guilty.
You're not guilty. Because why? Because of Christ. If you claim the name of Christ, nobody can condemn you. And I dare say to you, even yourself. Even yourself. Certainly not others, but even yourself. If you're hiding your life in thee, if you're hiding your life in Jesus. And Galatians 5:1, come on, this is why we're here today. It is for that Christ has set us free. Do you know what's nipping at your heels to try to own you? Is it that anxiety? Is it that depression? Is it that constant victim mentality that you seem to be stuck in? Everything always happens to me. What is it? What is it that's seeking to own you? Do you understand that because of Jesus you're set free from that? Do you believe that? You're completely set free from everything that seeks to own you. So instead of taking our need for significance, affirmation, value, and meaning to others around us and becoming addicted to their approval, we instead have clarity about exactly who we are in Jesus. And when that happens, our life moves from one of, here you go, insecurity to security. I, in some ways, would love to take a little, you know, raise your hands about who here has struggled with insecurity, but then again, no, I wouldn't. Because I believe it's pandemic in Christian circles. Insecurity is like everybody struggles with insecurity. And I am sorry, Jesus, for my own struggles with that. I am sorry for all of us, because that is almost an abomination to God, I believe. Because it is an affront to everything he did. That is the number one reason he purchased. That's the number one thing he purchased on that cross. Was our security, complete and eternal forever. You are worth this, he said, by his brutalization and death. You're worth this. I think about that, and I think, you know, some of us are just like, well, I just can't forgive myself. Well, I know he loves me. I just can't love me. And I think, we're looking at Jesus on the cross going, this is amazing. This is amazing, Jesus. But it's just not quite enough for me. And I think if you were in that scene, you wouldn't do that. And neither would I. Beloved of God, that is your true identity, and it's not up for debate. You're completely secure, completely loved, apprehended at such a high price. You realize when you think about Jesus, this is what I think about. I think, he's the sum total of all the things I love about people. So like her eyes, and his laugh, and his sense of humor, and the way she cocks her head when she like talks, and you know, the way he's like quiet, and then when he speaks, it's like such a deep word, and the way that, you know, like he's like so good at sports. I think all those things I'm attracted to in people, I think Jesus is the sum total of all that, right? Ecclesiastes 5:11 says he has set eternity in our hearts. I believe he's constantly drawing us to himself. So that sunset that you love, it's him. That art that draws you, that music that moves you, it's him. That smile that the stranger gave you, it's him. Can we recognize Jesus for who he is? And I think, okay, when we start to understand that kind of intimacy, then security is our life. When we do not understand that level of intimacy, that level of purchase, that level of relationship, then we are insecure. I don't know, am I loved? I don't know, do I fit in? Are you with me? It's kind of an easy two roads in some ways. And our power comes from living these truths regardless of what our feelings are. Oh, Chimama, yes, because the deal is... Sorry. Because the deal is this, you've been raised to be a generation that says, I filter truth through my experience. So if I had Mexican for lunch, I don't think God is very good. Right? Just teasing. If my stomach's upset somehow, I don't think God loves me. But, you know, if I've just done something that I love, then I think God loves me. In other words, we have it backwards. These things that we just looked at on the first page, these scriptures and infinitely more scriptures, infinitely more truths are true regardless of what, how I feel about them. I don't really care. You know what I mean? I think I would say to you, well, how do you feel about yourself? Or somebody says to me, and this will happen, to be honest, after this talk today, somebody will say to me, how'd you feel about your talk? Do you know what I will respectfully say? I don't really care. Because I know the Word of God goes forward, and I know I am like Balaam's ass, to be honest. It's like hee-haw, and I pray Jesus speaks to you. And I think that's the reality of my life. Because I know his word goes forward, and I know his word is the truth no matter what. I know you are salt and light, those of you that have committed your life to Jesus Christ. I know that you are holy and blameless. Do you understand? These truths are true about you, regardless of your feelings about them on a particular day. Because some days you're going to feel like, check me, I'm so spiritual. I just had 5 quiet times. Woo! Okay? You are no more loved by God. You're no more loved by God in that moment than the 5 weeks that you didn't. Do you understand that? I'm sorry. Jesus, take the wheel. Okay. Okay, life-altering awareness. You weren't meant to fit in. You weren't meant to be just average. You weren't meant to be normal. Isn't that great news? Because that makes it explains so much why you don't feel normal. Number 2, life-altering awareness. Life-altering. Your true and best life is the narrow way. It's the narrow way. Now, before you start throwing things, I have to say, it's in the Word of God, right? Here we go. Look at it. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to... So if you fit in, I'm a little concerned. It's not the road that leads where God has designed for you to go, yes? And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, this is what I dig. I dig that I am with people already on the narrow road, because instead of doing the other stuff that people are doing on their breaks, you're here. You're here at a conference, learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, getting into His Word, getting your faith increased. Yes? You're on the narrow path. And again, I say to you, oh, praise God for your obedience, because every time you say yes to God, He says, yes! And I am praying that's what happens as a result of you being here. And I'm honored to be with people like you, to be honest. Jesus doesn't want you to be a run-of-the-mill, follow-the-crowd kind of person. He has made you to be a new creation through Him. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The narrow way is living for an audience of one instead of the many. If I were to get tatted, this would be the thing I would tat somewhere. If I were to tat myself or whatever. It would be Galatians 1:10. I'm not kidding. I'd stick Galatians 1:10 somewhere. That it would remind me. Am I now trying to win the approval of God or of man? I think that is a great reminder every moment, every day. Right? Sitting here in this crowd, am I now trying to win the approval of God or of man? When you're at lunch, am I now trying to win the approval of God or man? When you're sitting in class, am I now trying to win the approval of God or of man? Isn't that good? Reminds me what I'm here for and what I'm not here for. Isn't that great? The narrow way is living for that audience of one. To live your mission completely secure in His love for you. Underline that phrase, please, if you're willing. Completely secure in His love for you is your highest act of worship. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. As a child of God, Romans 8:29 tells us, we are meant to be, and here's the word, conformed to the likeness of His Son. If we attempt to conform ourselves to anything else, it will never work. I mean, seriously, if you're trying to fit into a certain group and you're not fitting in, that's good news. Because guess what? You're not supposed to conform yourself to that. And when you try to conform yourself to Jesus, I dare you, all the more. Look at Him. Read about Him. Talk to Him. Hide yourself in Him. Get His Word in you. Guess what's going to happen? You'll be like, oh, this fits. This is like the right size clothes for me. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes, self-sacrifice. It's going to fit. Yes, humility. Woo! Try on pride. Yeah. It's like a bad suit. You're wearing like a bad suit. Doesn't fit. It's not supposed to fit. Right? Awesome. Okay, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end that leads to death. Okay, so number one, life-altering understanding is what? You weren't meant to?
Not
meant to fit in. That's exactly right. Number two, is that which way is yours to take, child of God? Yes, and it is a blessed way. It is a blessed way. Oh my goodness, if you could just leave knowing that. Here's number three, and I really wish somebody had told me this when I was your age. Okay? I got, my mom took off when I was 12. So I was left alone, wasn't saved, and God knew He needed to get His Word in me, and I wish so badly I had had this tool in my toolbox when I was young. And here's the thing, I've seen lives changed by this tool in their toolbox, and here's the reality, we've got to lean into this truth, because there is a huge, huge scheme against us not knowing this truth, and it is this. Number three, there is a clear and unrelenting battle over your soul. Clear and unrelenting battle over your soul. We are being, here's your next blanks, lied to, pummeled, and targeted at all times. We are being lied to, pummeled. Do you want me to spell pummeled? Everyone's like, is that one M or two L's or what? And targeted at all times. John 10:9 that we started with said what? You guys are like, no, seriously, we need to know. I'm moving on here, people. And targeted at all times. John 10:9 was the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy folks, not just bother us a little bit. Have you really thought about this recently? Evil's looking to steal, kill, and destroy. What? That's exactly right. And I want to ask you honestly, did you wake up and think about this at all? Have you thought about this at all? Today, yesterday, the day before, the last 3 months. This is like, as Christians, I believe we should wake up in the morning and like brush our teeth and be like, it's on. There's a battle. I need to get this in my head or I will not do it. I will go through the day being pummeled, one L or two, pummeled, and I won't know why I'm so bloody at the end of the day and why I feel beat up and why I can hardly stand up. If we don't know it. Come on, let's keep looking. We are at war. When's the last time you woke up and thought about this? First thing, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh my goodness, what is this telling us? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. What is it telling us? For our battle is not against?
People.
People. What people? Name some.
Children.
Parents. Friends.
Enemies.
Co-workers. Enemies. Spouses.
Neighbors.
Pastoral staff on your campus. Right? Guess who else is flesh and blood? Yourself. And when evil can... Honestly, this is a picture that I have. When evil can get us fighting ourselves. Tim, you're so stupid. Why'd you just say that? They think you're so stupid. Why are you doing that? Haven't you learned not to do that? Seriously, your transitions are terrible. Why are you... Okay, well, just try harder a little harder. Just try harder. Next time I know you can do it. Okay, when we're fighting ourselves. However, it's like evil goes, excellent. I don't need to worry about this. I can go worry about something else because she's fighting herself. Or they're fighting each other. Good. We're good to go. I can go deal something else. I can leave them alone because they're fighting the wrong battle. You have for years and years wondered, why do I struggle with depression? Why can't I just get over this habit of masturbation? Why can't I just get over the bitterness I have over my parents' divorce? Why? And I think, you're probably fighting the wrong battle. You're trying to force yourself into some new paradigm. Come on, Tam, come on, you can do it. You're trying to force somebody else to behave the way you want to behave. Come on, just if you could just speak my love language, we'll be good. Okay, you're trying to force people, right, into your way rather than, I'm fighting the wrong battle. When we start to fight the right battle, I am so pumped about you knowing this because you're going to start to sense a level of traction in your life that you have heretofore not experienced. Yes? I'm excited about this. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Ephesians 6:11 shows us there are schemes against us. Schemes against us. Looking at Ephesians 6:12, the verse right above there again. Who is our battle against? If our battle is not against flesh and blood, who is it against? Dark forces in the what realm? Yeah. So what kind of a battle is this? This is a battle of your
mind.
Yes, of your spirit waged in your mind. It is a spiritual battle. Right? It's not a physical battle. That's really important to understand. It is your spirit that is being attacked. Okay? Let's keep going. Again, I'm asking you to ask Jesus, please show me exactly what you want me to hear from you today. Okay? 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let me say it slower. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What comes in your mind when you hear that? I think about a piece of steak. What'd you say?
Scar from the Lion King.
How about all those National Geographic, like, documentaries or whatever? It's like you can't even see the massive thing, and then it's like mauling something that moment, right? And I think, come on, what's a scheme? What's a scheme?
A plan.
What kind of a plan?
Devious.
A devious plan. That's a great one. He said that like scary. He gets devious. It's great. Yes, I know you've been a part of a scheme. What's been involved in part of your scheme? Tell me what a scheme involves.
Lies.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. What else? Yes, a scheme. It's like a plan, well thought out. And when does a scheme happen? When a person is vigilant and on top of the mountain? Nope. When a person is not paying attention, right? Okay, my middle school son unleashed a scheme on me recently. A couple of them, frankly, but I have a certain routine when I come home, bring them home from school. We all have our little certain routines, and my little routine do all these things, and it ends with me sitting down at the computer and checking my email. And, you know, that's after I've done some other things. So I'm sort of like, okay, when I sit down, right? So I'm like, do the things, and I sit down, and then check my email. So it's when I am not paying attention, it's when I'm finally like, sitting down for the day, relaxing, right? Okay, so my son's been doing what? He's been watching me. Do you know that from the day that you set foot on this earth, or set bottom on this earth, how you want to say it, baby, when you hit the day you were born, you have been being watched. Evil knows your plan. Okay, and so I did my little and I sat down at the computer, and my son, who had hidden under there for quite some time, went, "Bow!" And I abruptly wet myself. He now tells all his middle school friends, they're like, "Yo, Mrs. Smith, yeah." Because what? I wasn't paying attention. I was getting to relax. Right? Schemes happen to us when we're least aware. They're unleashed on us when we're least aware. And evil is looking to unleash schemes on us, you guys. Do you know when you're least aware, when you're least vigilant, when you're paying the least attention? Okay? So 1 Peter 5:8, here we go, tells us evil is prowling after us, looking for someone to devour. Thank you, you're doing great. Devour. It doesn't mean just bother us a little bit. What is evil diabolically, methodically looking to do? Looking to take you out. Take you out of what? Take you out of life, out of a life of faith. Out of believing that God is good. Out of believing that God has a special purpose for your life. Out of believing that you are in any way, shape, or form special or valuable. Are you kidding me? Evil's looking to take you out of a life of faith. You understand that? Oh, you think you're a big fat Christian. Well, guess what? Evil's just looking to try to take you out. To get you to not believe God is good. To get you to not believe that you are an active part in advancing a massive kingdom that someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2. You know what Philippians 2 also tells us? That this battle is over what? What is the war prize in this battle, in this war? The war prize, here it is, your next blank, is God's glory. The war prize is God's glory. In other words, guys, when you go back to the front page scripture and you live out all those truths we just went through, guess what's happening? God is getting some serious glory from your life. Isn't it true? Don't you have somebody that you look up to in faith? And you're like, "Oh, I really admire him," or "I really admire her." And you're like, "I love that." Well, what do you do when you do that? You're like, "Oh, that's God. Well, that's God." You give God the credit. Well, guess what? When you are living like you're chosen, like you're special, like you're valuable, like you're salt, like you're light, like you're blameless, like there's no condemnation, like He has not given up on me. When you start living like that, guess what happens? God starts getting a lot of glory from your life. Right? And that right there, my friends, is what hell is after. You tell me, by the way, what men and women, what any good general does in wartime. What's a wartime strategy for any good general? Divide and conquer. Absolutely. So here's the deal. You are starting to experience like really good God truth in your small group together. Be alert. Watch out. You've been together for 3 years. It's been awesome. It's awesome. You guys are just making some strides and people are confessing stuff and people are getting healed and people are like, "Let's go preach the gospel." Okay, you watch. Next time you go to Bible study, you'll be like, "Why am I so irritated with her?" You haven't been here. All of a sudden, a person that you haven't struggled with for 3 years, all of a sudden you have this thought, she's irritating. What is she doing that for? Or this pastor that you've admired, all of a sudden you're like, dude, he's really like, he's not fulfilling his promises. What's his problem? You understand. Divide and conquer. You have a relationship that is God glorifying, that is going well. Watch. Watch. Evil's looking to get in. Get in. And it's not some forward assault. It doesn't come at us straight up. Okay, I'm now going to divide you from the person you love. It comes in sideways. Like we said earlier, worms its way in. And it's just like a mild irritation or a mild misunderstanding that you don't immediately, when in doubt, check it out, which is a great relational skill. Okay, you don't immediately do that. And it just worms itself in. And you're like, okay, seriously? She like never calls me back when she says she would. You used to have grace for that. What changed? Are you with me? Are we alert to the fact that there is an enemy absolutely relentlessly targeting you and your faith? Absolutely relentlessly targeting you and your faith. Let's keep going. The battleground in the Christian life, you said it earlier, is what? It's the mind. I wish I could spend tons of time going through these scriptures. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to the knowledge of Christ, that's exactly right. Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. Proverbs 23:7, a secondary translation of NIV says, as a man thinketh within his heart, so is he. In other words, if you think, I am loved by God, purchased at such a high price, I can't even get over it, you're going to act like that. That's the way you're going to move forward. But if you think, I'm not very valuable, people don't really like me, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be very valuable, and it's going to seem like people don't like you. Does that make sense? As you think in your heart, like, I don't want you to do this, but studies have shown, even secular psychologists know this, that if you start in your heart, in your soul, thinking, I'm depressed, I think I might be depressed, I might be a little depressed, am I getting depressed, do I seem a little blue to you? Guess what? 2 weeks tops, you're like getting to pits. Because you have thought yourself there. Scripture's very clear, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think I'm not special to God, you'll act like you're not special to God. You'll believe it. You think, I'm chosen by a holy God who has called me forever. I'm not supposed to fit in. Guess what? You'll live that way. John 8:32, and you shall what? The truth, and the truth shall set you free? You shall know it. That's exactly right. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, if there be anything excellent or praiseworthy, what does it say to do about those things? Think about them. Do you get it? The battleground is where? The mind. This means we must learn to fight evil in our thoughts. The number one weapon evil uses in the battle is lies. Lies. Yes, you're tracking with me. Because God's word is very clear about it. You know what John 8:44 says? The devil is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. That is all that he can do is lie. Okay, so if you're tracking with me, this is like a little logic problem. If there is a war, and it's led by evil, and evil is the father of lies, what's going to be the number one thing used against us? Lies, exactly. That's number one weapon. Let's go to the next page. And I need to give God his due on this one, so I'm going to take a minute. Revelation 12:10 shows us something awesome. I love this verse. Section, can't get over it. Mm-hmm. There we go. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, it's a picture of the end times. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You want to win? You want to fight? You want to do some winning? You appeal to the blood of Christ and you testify, I am his. And he wins. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Woo-hoo, there's a lot in here. Let's talk about this together. Who are the brothers? Who are the brothers? You're like, I think I'm the brothers. Yes! Believers in God, you're the brothers! Okay? You're the brothers! Brothers. Okay? So we know who the brothers are. For the accuser, what's accusation? What's accusation? Okay, accuse me of some things. Let's make it practical. Come on, we got to get this down to the level of us, to the level of us and the Lord. What are you trying to show me? So, accuse me of some things.
You don't tell the truth.
I don't tell the truth. I'm not doing a very good job up here.
You're energetic.
What?
You're energetic.
You're energetic, and it would be, you're energetic and that's annoying. Okay, go ahead. That would be an accusation. Go ahead, what else? What? You're wearing pink. What? I'm a jerk. What?
Your joy is just for show.
You're fake.
You're making my ear ring.
Yeah, I'm too loud.
Your theology's off.
My theology's off.
You're self-righteous.
I'm self-righteous. Oh, little precious up here goes, you're self-righteous. No, I didn't mean it. That's awesome. What'd you say back here? What'd you say back here?
I smell bad.
I smell nice. Really?
Session for people.
So the deal is what? You're getting a picture of it, right? Come on, have you ever heard, oh, you think you're a Christian? Didn't you? Didn't didn't you ask God for forgiveness for that last night and the night before and the night before and the last 5 years of your life? What makes you think God's going to forgive you for that? Oh, you're going to lead a small group. Isn't that precious? If they only knew that you barely read the Bible, and if they only knew what kind of things you do on your website or your computer, they would never ever ask you to lead that Bible study. Oh, yeah, they act like they want you to fit in. It's just because they want you to do stuff for them. You don't really fit in. They don't really like you. Have you ever heard that stuff? Oh, you're a real Christian? Right. Haven't read the Bible in like 2 weeks, seriously? Oh, you think God loves you? God just loves everyone. You're not even close to being special to Him. Have you ever heard anything like that? That is what accusation sounds like. Oh, you think you're so self-righteous. Look at you. You quoted a verse to a friend and now you're like, oh, check me, I'm a great Christian. Really? This is what accusation sounds like. And my question is, do you know? Do you know how accusation sounds in your life? Seriously, there are ones that work for each of us. Do you know which ones you are most susceptible to? And you know what else Revelation 12:10 said? And I know some of you have heard me talk about this before, but it never gets old because we got to live this. Because seriously, who woke up today and said, I'm at war and I need to fight? It says, who accuses them before our God day and night. What comes to your mind when you hear the phrase day and night? All the time. Honestly, I would love it if we had the time to stop right now and go, you tell me the kinds of accusation that evil is telling you right now. I know what evil is telling me. Trying to. Right? Do you know? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is a life-altering awareness. When you can understand that there is one that is targeting your soul, lying to you day and night, 24/7, then it begins to be game on, and then we begin to have some honest freedom. Okay? Because we can recognize it, then we can fight back. But when we are not fighting the right battle, we are stuck. And many of us have been stuck for a long time. And this is why I'm so pumped to be here when you guys are this age, because I've seen it a lot. You can be 50 and stuck in the same thing you're stuck in today. You think marriage and kids will unstuck you. Mm-mm. Are you with me? Only Jesus and fighting the right battle in His name, by His blood, by His power, will get you unstuck from anything ever. Yes? Okay, let's keep going. So Revelation 12:10 shows us we're being accused all the time. The main weapons used against believers are accusation, lying, distortion, confusion. There is a diabolical scheme to get you to not believe the truths of God. The war is an all-out assault on the truth of who God is, who we are, and what Christ did. Your mind is a spiritual battlefield. That's why we are urged to stay alert. The evil one is the father of lies, and his deceptions can worm their way into your mind if you let your guard down. Here's a John Eldridge quote. To live in ignorance of spiritual warfare is the most naive, N-A-I-V-E, and dangerous thing a Christian can do. And by the way, if you want a good practical example of what spiritual warfare today looks like, his book, Waking the Dead, is awesome. Waking the Dead, John Eldridge, is awesome. Okay, any word or suggestion that brings, this is what's important, keep leaning with me here, I want to get through this. Any word or suggestion that brings discouragement, condemnation, accusation, or confusion, they are not from God. Okay, I want you to write down this phrase, dashboard lights. Okay? Because condemnation, discouragement, accusation, or confusion, those are like dashboard lights in a car. When a light goes off on your dashboard, what is it telling you about the car? Something's up, man. Something's wrong under the hood, right? Well, guess what, believer, child of God? Whenever you are steeped in condemnation, you're feeling tons of condemnation, guess what that's telling you? Something's wrong under the hood. You're believing lies. You're not fighting the right battle. You're being susceptible. How about confusion? Same thing. Right? I want you to see those. Oh, okay. I'm not just depressed tonight. Evil's whispering some diabolical garbage in my ear, and I'm not paying attention. Yes? I don't just feel like, you know, acting out sexually tonight. I just don't feel like overeating when I'm totally satiated food. Whatever it is. It's not just, I don't just feel like that. It's, wait a minute, evil's like yakking in my ear about something. I got to pay attention. I got to fight back. Okay? You won't understand your life. You won't see clearly what has happened to you or how to live forward from here unless you see it as war. It's on. And we can either become wise to that or we can just live getting beat up and wondering, why do I feel so beat up? Okay? Any word or suggestion that brings those things is not from God. Evil has no power over you except what, this is your next blank, you give by failing to take every thought captive and thus being deceived into believing lies. Okay, somebody that can talk as fast as I can you read that list of lies? Go for it.
There's nothing special about me. I'm fat, unattractive, not smart. I'm not worth anyone's time. I'll never be free. I'm not good enough. I'm not as spiritual as others, so I won't apply, try, join, reach out. God can't use me. God can't be trusted. If God were good, he wouldn't let that happen. They don't like you, will reject you. I'll never succeed. No one will ever love me for me. I'll never be as good as him, her. I'm dirty. People can't be trusted. God isn't real. I can't be forgiven for that. You don't fit in. God doesn't answer prayer. God won't do that for you.
Rock on, brother! That's great. Have you ever heard any of those? Struggle with any of those in your life? Isn't it amazing? It's like, oh, that's right. Because my question to you, masterpiece of God, purchased with such a huge price, would you really want to say those things to yourself? It's not your voice. It is the voice of one bent on your destruction and after God's manifest glory in your life. Do you know that? So when you hear it, I'll never succeed. Do you agree and just let it be in there? Or do you say, wait a minute, Jeremiah 29:11 says, no, God has good plans for me. God is the source of my strength. How about, I'm dirty. Do you just agree? Or do you say, no, I'm not the sum total of my past because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus and I'm a new creation in Jesus. Do you know how to do this, folks? This is what we're talking about. This will change your life. It'll change your life. I love it because I've gotten to watch people, old people, young people, get a hold of this and it begins to change our life. And so I'm so pumped about seeing you guys get a hold of this and experience the level of traction you're going to start to have with the Lord that you maybe haven't had before now. The dangerous result of lies is that they become a part of us and grow with us. So some of you have had these lies around for a long time. You have always believed, since you were in third grade, and that thing happened to you on the playground, that you are here just for people to abuse. You have always believed that. Or you have always believed that your parents love your brother better than you because, you know, when your dad smacked you across the face when you were in fourth grade and said, why can't you just be like him? You've never gotten over that. And evil has had a great time reminding you of that at every turn. Oh, yeah, you were almost voted in for class president, but oh, that's right, you're second best. Are you with me? Evil, constantly lying to you. How often? 24/7. And do we think about this? So where does evil get the lies that are used against us generally, as I just alluded to? Wounds from our past. Wounds from our past. And we are continually being told lies about these three things. It's really important. God. These are your next blanks. God, ourselves, and others. Evil's constantly saying, oh, really? God is good? Oh, really? God is for you? Oh, really? God is with you? Oh, if God were good, why does he let that baby die? If God were good, why did he let that financial thing happen to your family? If God were good, why did he let your friend desert you? If God were good, why did your parents get divorced? Really? Is God good? I don't think so. Voice of hell right there. About yourself. Oh, yeah, you're special, right? You can't even like pass your class and you're like special and a kingdom advancer, right? That's a voice of hell. Do you know the voice of hell? Can you differentiate it from your own voice? And evil's constantly lying to you about others. Oh, they don't like you. You don't fit in. Oh, they're so much better than you. Oh, they're looking down on you. Oh, they didn't include you. Oh, they're better than you are. It's a voice of hell. Do you know it? Hell's lies are designed to do what? These are your next blanks. Take your focus off God. And to make us discontent, that's your next blank, with him and his plan for our lives. Again, I wish I had time to talk about it. It happened to Eve in the garden. We can see it. Evil lied to her, and she took her eyes off of everything that God had provided for her, turned her eyes to what she couldn't have. We've been following ever since. We're discontent people. We constantly look at what we don't have rather than what we do have. Spiritual battle is not some mystical mammoth effort, but an everyday internal commitment to believe God over circumstances and choose Christ's truth over self. We can never forget that we are at war. There is a battle over every person. Getting us to focus our gaze and then our worship on something other than God is a huge scheme against us. Evil will do everything possible to thwart seeds of faith and trust in God. Any move you make towards that will be opposed. And what's the last phrase say? Expect it. So please tell me, when you leave, oh, is it over tonight? It's over tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bagum! When you leave tonight and you go home, do not be surprised that you're in a fight with your parents. Do not be surprised that on the way home you're like with the people in your car. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that you do some sin that you haven't even done in a long time, or you like are thinking thoughts about it. Because why? Because this has been a major movement towards God. And evil's going, get out of these quadrant 12, go get her! Pull her back! Make her, no, get her back to that insecurity, get her back! Are you with me? And here's the thing, the pictures are helpful, I know they're helpful. And I want you guys to get a picture, some pictures of evil, okay? So we think about evil lying to us 24/7. Please forgive me if you have one, but when I think, honestly, it's very helpful for me to think about evil like, you know, little tiny dogs, little yappy dogs. Aren't you so sick of hearing, no, you're not really that good. No, God doesn't love you. No, don't read His Word. It's no good for you. You want to do something else instead of that. No, the people don't really want to include you. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of it? Don't you want to fight back? Don't you want to say, are you serious? Shut up. Okay? That's a picture I want you to have. The other picture, Wizard of Oz. Have you guys ever seen the movie Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
So when they finally get to Oz, after all the machinations they had to go to, right? Here's big, great, and mighty Oz. And they're like, and big, great, and mighty Oz. And they're like, cowering in front of Oz, right? But then, Dorothy and little Toto, they go behind the little curtain, and what do they see? Oh, you're just a little bald man with a big complex, dude. They discover it's really just a mirage. This is the truth of our lives. I really want you to think about, come on, game on, because I can see now what you're up to. I can see it's a mirage. You're trying to get me to be afraid of whether I fit in, afraid of my future, afraid of whether I'll make it, afraid of whether I'm valuable, afraid, afraid, afraid. You're trying to get me to believe the mirage that I should be afraid. When I finally just pull back the curtain and go, oh, let me just read the end of this Bible again, because, oh, that's right, you lost. I love you guys. I think, seriously, when you think about what does spiritual battle look like again, let's just turn to the back again. You're trying to make me think that I am not valuable and beloved by God and I got no purpose on this life. Oh yeah, let's look at the end of this book again. It's like a constant reminder, you are a defeated foe. I may be struggling right now. I may be struggling with how I feel about me. I may be struggling with my marriage. I may be struggling with my future. It doesn't matter how I feel about me. I can turn to this book and I can go, I know what happens. I know who wins every time. Are you with me?
Amen.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Anytime you are saying, okay, I get it now. I get what you're doing to me. Yappy dog. You can be like, okay, I understand that you are coming at me with lies. This is your only weapon, please. Are you going to bring that lie on me up again? I've been struggling with it for 20 years. You think it's going to work this time? It does not work. Why don't you just go to hell? Are you tracking with me? I think, come on, and I don't mean cocky. I don't mean play with evil. I don't mean see a demon on every corner. I mean see it for what it is. And it is a battle over you and I, and we're being lied to 24/7. And I want you to have a righteous ire that's rising up in you, even now by the Spirit of God that says, I will fight. I am sick, that's right. I am sick of that depression. I am sick of that insecurity. I am so sick of feeling like I never fit in anywhere. And it's just you, you big liar. And that's all you got? Oh, I see. So I've come to expect that my husband's a pastor. I've come to expect that when he's got something big going on, I got something big going on, something amazing's happening, I think we'll probably fight that week. Are you with me? He and I both know what's up. I've come to expect that when I'm going to come to a conference like this, something's going to break on the way or I'm going to lose something. I'll never forget, I did a huge conference a little while ago and I was driving. And I heard the loudest sound I have ever heard, and it was my mirror meeting a mailbox that apparently moved out of nowhere. And it was like, I wasn't texting or anything. And I look and I see my mirror dangling, and God's spirit inside me said, you got a big thing coming tonight, Tammy. You stay focused on me. And I can't tell you the things that happened that afternoon. My wedding ring, all sorts of things that happened that afternoon. It was a great conference. Do you understand? This is battle. And guess what? You win because Jesus lives in you every time. When we fight the right battle. Another picture is this. Who can I pick on? Can I pick on you, Precious? Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. I just want you guys to imagine if I came to him and just started smacking him. Just started smacking him. Just smack. I just sat here and started smacking him. I can't do it for very often. I'm sorry. I can't. If I literally was doing that, just smacking him and smacking him, what would you guys do?
Stop it.
You'd be like, stop. What'd she say? You'd be like, stop. What's your name?
Matt.
You'd be like, Matt. You know, and Matt could sit there and Matt could go, well, that one hurt. That landed a really good punch. I think I'm going to have a bloody nose now. I'm being attacked right now. I know what's happening. I'm being attacked. And again, would that work? No, even he knows what's happening, but he does nothing. It's still happening. What do you want Matt to do? Come on, just stop. Stop it. You'd be like, go ahead, just boom, down. Yeah, right, are you with me? I think that's the picture of you and I. Here, let me see your coat real quick. Okay, here's the other thing. It's like, what's your name, Precious?
Kelly.
Okay, Kelly. Okay, Kelly, you're no good. You're not very special. Oh my, I'm tied to things, yeah. And God doesn't really love you very much. Okay, that's what every lie does. Is it occludes? I gotta get you out of here. Thank you, honey. Sorry. I want you to see this for your own self. See this for your own life. You understand every lie that you say yes to and that you do not fight is just like a blanket going over top of you. And what's it doing? It's occluding the glory of God in your life. Because she's beautiful. And you can't see that under all those lies. You can't see that under that, you know, lie from sexual abuse. You can't see that under that lie of depression that's been there forever. Right? You gotta start pulling them off. You can't hear her either. Do some of you wonder, why? Why when I speak does nobody seem to listen? It's because you're speaking under a cloud of lies that you've never fought. I pray you're going to this place, which is God. What are the things that I have not recognized as from the pit of hell and I have not fought? Show me, Lord. So I want you to see those, okay? So, here we go, game-changing strategies. Do you mind shutting the door back there? That'd be great. Whoever can shut the door, thank you. Game-changing strategies. Can I have a few minutes since we lost a few on the front side?
Yes.
Yes, please, thank you. Sorry. Game-changing strategies. In other words, the whole outcome of the game, thank you so much, depends on this. Number one, fight. Fight the battle of your mind. Just like we said to Matt, it's like, Matt, come on, man, fight. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What's James 4:7 say very simply? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That's all we need to do is resist. Why? Because your royalty, Spirit of the living Christ lives in you. His blood is our final appeal all the time. Listen, some of you are like, well, I think I've gotten good at that, but you're forgetting. It's not you that wins the battle. It's Jesus. You have to appeal to Jesus every time. My little Assembly of God southern friend, she says to me, she says, when the devil comes and knocking, I say, Jesus, would you get that? Someone just forwarded me an email, and I love it. It says, I'm going to use a colloquial word here, so forgive me. The email said this. It said,
You have children.
That's right. Yes, thank you. The email said this. It said, whenever you wake up in the morning, you're one of those people that the devil says, oh, crap, she's awake. That's how I want it to be with you and I from here forward, which is we know how to fight. We don't wage war, as the scripture says, with weapons of this world. Right? We wage weapons in the spirit realm. So here we go. When the fiery darts come, as they do daily, we win the battle by recognize them. Reject them. Replace them with the truth. We also must be sure we are fighting, folks, the right battle. Your true battle is with evil, not others, not yourself, and not your circumstances. Again, so many of us fight our circumstances. So many of us fight ourselves. So many of us fight others. Oh, I wish I had another 3 hours. We'd have a ball here. We battle forcefully by rejecting anything inconsistent with biblical truth. So what's the number one game-changing strategy? Fight. great. Number two, a life of obedience is blessed. Hear me loud and clear, because it is echoed in the Holy Word of God on every page, which is, you walk in His ways, you will be blessed. This is not a prosperity gospel. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. If we seek to do everything recorded in the Holy Word of God, listen, I try to live everything I can out of this book, because I am a mess without Jesus, first of all. And second of all, because I'm selfish. Because I get it. That when I say yes to self-sacrifice, and I look at what Jesus does, and I look at the kinds of things He's asking me to do, and I say no to drunkenness, and I say yes to purity, and I say, okay, guess what? It's like, oh my word, this is the right life. This is the right life. It fits. Oh, this is great. But when we're walking outside this, it's a struggle. Are you with me? I did not hear in my 20s that obedience was blessed, and it's awesome. It's awesome, because you can't outgive God. Your purity, you fight for that. You fight for it. Come on. You fight for it. Purity of mind, purity of body, holiness, fight for it. That's why I don't want you just to pick up magazines and just watch shows. Because every time you pick up a print media, every time you watch a commercial, there's a message in there. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not valuable enough. You're not strong enough. You stink. I don't like the way you look. And on and on and on. And those are mechanisms designed by evil to just wear away. Right in your ear. Just wear you away. Wear you away. Are you with me? This is why we're wise about what we do. Okay? Number two, a life of obedience is blessed, like we talked about. All those verses there, I want you to look at them. Number three, strategy. Game-changing strategy. Press in when you feel like giving out, giving in, or running away. Press in. Move into the things of God. When you feel like, where are you, God? Press in. Pick up the Bible. 5 weeks in a row, you feel nothing when you read the Word of God. Keep reading. Are you with me? We are a generation that is so wussy. I can't stand how wussy I am. I can't stand how wussy you are. We're so wussy when it comes to the thing of God. Please forgive me. It's our society. That's our society that we're in. Can we be people who are like, no. I know God is good. I know His Word is true. I will stay here until the rest of my life and feelings and character lines up with that. Herschel Martindale, who was a grandfather of Great Commission for years and years, he talked about going on prayer walks with the Lord. And he said that he would go until he felt like he was synced up, he was aligned with God. He knew that God was always there with him. It wasn't like God was showing up. It was all about being aligned, right? And some of his prayer walks would last 5 minutes, and some of them would last 5 hours. Just keep there until you feel a connection with God. Keep at it. Keep at it. So when you leave this conference and your emotions are all like, and I feel nothing, fine, keep at it. Keep reading the Word. Keep staying in the Word. Keep praying. And when you feel like, okay, my prayer life is doing nothing, just get on your face and be quiet. And I do mean that. Because it's our society is so busy. We have so much input, 24/7 input. I mean, I can't believe my one kid is like, earplugs in, he's working on the computer and watching the TV. I'm like, that, something's wrong with that. Because we're input laden all the time. Hell loves that. We can't hear our souls, and we can't be vigilant about what's coming at us. Oh, shoot, I got to hurry. We got to go. Okay. Move into the things of God. A huge strategy in life to remember when you are young is that there are no do-overs in life. Okay, sorry I can't go through the tools. We'll just do the bare minimum. I'll fill in the blanks for you. And hopefully you guys can talk about them together. Practical tools. These will be the things that differentiate you from the people around you. Number one, know the Bible. Seriously, there is no other practice in your life that will change you, transform you, change your life as much as knowing the Bible. I am living proof of it. I love the thought of you guys getting serious about the Word. Your part in the battle that we're talking about is to saturate your mind with God's truth. What does the word saturate bring to your mind? Picture. Sponge, absolutely. So totally soaked. Submersion. Exactly. Submersion, actually. Good job. We need to know truth, because when you expose Satan's lie with God's truth, his power is broken. Next blank. Faith comes through the Word of God. Oh, again, I wish I could talk about this. There's one thing that will increase your faith. It's not by trying harder. It's by getting under the Word of God and listening to the Word of God. You're going to have more faith after this weekend because you've heard the Word of God. Making small deposits over time does yield a big reward. Oh, my word, I am living proof of this. Living proof that when you just put the Word of God in you over time, not like one day and expect a result the next day, but just over time, it changes you. We are commanded to be vigilant about the content of our hearts. You may be waiting on God to shape your heart while He is waiting on you to guard it. The Word of God will come back to you when you need it if you are faithful to learn it. Yes, I love this! But seriously, I want you to email me when this happens to you. You're going to be like, okay, just stay in the Word. If you become, just get serious about the Word. See, because when Mom scooted and Dad wasn't around, God knew I needed to get church in me. So the speaker that I heard that I eventually gave my life to Christ through, the speaker said, I challenge you to read one chapter of the Bible every day. Well, for the next 14 years of my life, I did. Nobody told a little 13-year-old girl not to start a Genesis, though. Because when you got to Leviticus, it was really weird. God knew, you have to have my word in you to have a foundation for life. Seriously. The word of God will come back to you when you need it. If you're faithful, learn it. So next time you're in a conversation, you're thinking, oh, I have no idea what to say to this person. And you'll hear, it'll just be like a scripture coming from nowhere. You'll be like, no way did that just happen. I can't wait. I challenge you, keep being in the word of God until that happens. It will happen. His word says it clearly. Number two, wisely use your time. Oh, I wish I could talk about this a little more. A major, major way evil gets us to doubt God is by getting us to compare ourselves with each other. I have talked about this elsewhere at length. I'm sorry, I can't do that today. It's a scheme of hell. Instead, we choose to possess what I call a keys perspective. K-E-Y-S. God has given us each gifts. You need to look to the gifts that God has given you and stop looking at the gifts that other people have from Him. Number three, we need to focus on giving instead of getting. Ah, I love the thought of you aligning with Luke 9, 24 and 25 in this regard. That he who wants to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life on account of me will save it. That's number three. Here's your next blank. It's that we fill it up from God alone and pour it out to others. Number four tool, focus on being grateful, not greedy. This too will change your life. Money back guarantee from the conference. Oh yes, I said it. Yes. Look for the way out of, tool number five, look for the way out of temptation when it comes. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Listen, do you understand that the thing that you are tempted by, God always provides a way out? If you are in that compromising situation and it's just feeling like tonight might be the night to cross the line, guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? A dog's going to bark, a phone's going to ring, it's God's way out. Are we attentive to it? Somebody's going to burp. It's God's way out. Or when you're tempted to gossip, right? When you're tempted to gossip and you're in a conversation, somebody's going to walk by. He or she is right. Hey, so-and-so, how you doing? When you're tempted to gossip, it's going to be a way out. All of a sudden, something's going to happen funny, and you can either go back to the conversation, you can take the way out. When you're tempted to go to the website, it's like, oh, it's a pop-up. I don't know how that happened. I just need to try to get it off. Let me see it first what it is. Okay, there'll be a way out. Someone will say, hey, so-and-so. You'll get a text, and instead of just, boom, ignore the text, be like, this is God's way out. Are we wise to recognize God's way out? He always provides one of whatever your temptation is. And number six, call out to Jesus. And I am pretty excited about the fact that I have sensed from this group in particular, you get this. That when you call the name of Jesus, everything's different. And that there is no end to calling out the name of Jesus. Truly, in every situation. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. That's awesome, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. The more you call out the name of Jesus, the more you will experience this. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Thank you so much for this. Awesome. Greg, would you close us in prayer? Would you close us in prayer?
Lord, thank you for these truths that have given to us the first time we might have heard them today, or Lord, to remind us of truths that we've known for a long time. Help us wrestle with these and hang on to them. Lord, the life of our soul, the health of our soul is at stake here. The Lord, help us take these to heart and run.
Thank
you, Lord. Be a doer of your word.
Thank you, Lord.
To apply your word, not just Jesus. Listen to it only. We need your help.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask you for it. Because of your son's name, mm-hmm. we expect your answer. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the extra time.